Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
In this hour, we're going to be talking about medical marijuana. As you know, when I was sheriff, it was one that I was not really a big proponent of. I understood the necessity of it in dealing with any number of illnesses. I believe some of the data around those issues. It seems as though the anecdotal stories, though, are really starting to stack up. And in fact, I've actually talked to people that have had that in their, you know, last moments of life and having to deal with pain, having to deal with nausea, having to deal with any number of issues that they were presented, predominantly relative to chemotherapy treatment and radiation and things of that nature. And I got to tell you, I think the stories are compelling. And joining us in the studio is Henry, owner of H&W Dispensary, Dr. Shonda Macias, owner and executive president of Lyra Holistic LLC, as well as Peter Privo, the Louisiana Association for Therapeutic Alternatives. Folks, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Noam.
Thank you so much.
So, you know, I was reading the story about former Governor Kathleen Blanco. I've heard a lot of this about the utilization of medical marijuana at the end of life, and that is, it was a game changer for her. Her family said it was just absolutely unbelievable. CBD oil mixed with some of the drugs that they were giving her that made all the difference in the world, when it was the drug in and of itself. They weren't getting the benefits that they thought they needed to get when they immediately started with mixing CBD oil with it. All of a sudden, she happened to be a different person at her end-of-life challenges. And it provided for the family, I think, an environment where it was a lot more peaceful and a lot more, I'm going to use this term, but it's not the productive, to the extent that they could share their final thoughts and their final feelings without having distress in the environment. And I know you guys have come in contact with a lot of anecdotal stories as well, and I'd like to hear from y'all.
Yeah, I'm going to just pivot. This is Dr. Shonda Macias, and I've been treating patients for over 5 years. I started in a medical marijuana dispensary in Washington, D.C., National Holistic Healing Center, where I've treated thousands of patients. I've now returned home to Louisiana to grow and also process for the state under Alera Holistic, where I'm the CEO. But, you know, going into your story, which is that people use medical marijuana as a last option, is what I hear far too often, when, in fact, it should be the first option people truly consider. A natural medicine with known benefits to help improve the quality of life. Now, at the end of life, we want to make patients comfortable, but can you imagine if they were able to actually expand their life by using medical marijuana? And this is what we've seen throughout the years. I've seen patients come in with tumors and densities within their bodies, and within months, they have disappeared. I have seen people with progressive stages of multiple sclerosis, where then their spasms have stopped. I've seen all kinds of cases and scenarios, especially around pain management, and we have been able to improve the quality of life for so many. And I think it's about being able to educate the population that this is no longer what we perceive having a negative stigma. This is about saving patients' lives and being able to deliver a quality of life where pharmaceutical medicine has failed us.
Well, you know, I understand what you're saying, and I come from this from a little bit of a different opinion, in that it's now legal here, and I guess I'm curious as to whether the industry itself is collecting the data, helping provide the studies, because we know that this went around the traditional protocols of FDA phase one, phase two type of situation, where when we talk about this being, you know, the starting point medication. It will never get there until you get the vast majority of treating physicians to believe in this. Their training is geared towards FDA approval. And I said this from the beginning. The moment we went around FDA, this became a very slippery slope for the industry, and they're never going to be able to permeate the medical industry to the extent in the short term. No one knows what's going to happen in the long term, but in the short term, to provide that, because we just don't have the testing. And if you're risk averse as a physician, and you think about what your med mal costs now, I mean, this presents a real challenge intellectually for a lot of folks as to whether or not they're going down this path.
I have to dispel that, you know, thought process, and respectfully,
of course.
We've had multiple studies done within the U.S., but primarily outside of the United States. If you go to the National Institutes of Health, they'll have plenty of articles saying the medicinal benefits of medical marijuana. And myself, as a provider, I have over 4 years of aggregated data that I've collected that sees the difference that it has impacted different disease and different disease states. The problem is that I cannot call it a clinical, and I cannot say that it's a formal study, because it is an illegal substance, and I am banned from doing research on it in that capacity.
No, I understand the downside implications of this, but for the very same reason, it would have to admit that the study that you're referring to that you've conducted, you didn't jump over the hurdles, through the hoops that would be required by the FDA. I hear this all the time. It's the same with a lot of the NIH studies. They're close, but no WIO. I mean, they're not quite there as to what all of the protocols would be with the FDA. But be that as it may.
Well, let me just say that in Australia, we have collaborated with Zelda Therapeutics and have been able to conduct the research, which is up to the United States standards, but it's not done here. So
correct.
If you want to know about the efficacy, about how the medicine worked with the dose response, we have that data, and that's what we're applying here in the United States. It's just a shame that I can't conduct that here, given all the information that I have.
But now that we are down that path, there are a number, I think, 3, 4, 5 different universities now conducting studies for the FDA, as I recall. I know there's one in Seattle. There's a number of others that are being done. I think, you know, a lot of this data is going to begin to reveal itself in a much faster way, because it seems as though they are providing the sampling necessary in order to conduct these studies and have broken down some of the barriers in order to move through that process. Is that correct?
It's correct, but let me just pause here, because I know the government's lag to get up to par with medical marijuana and its benefits is there, but the patients have seen the benefits. That's why it's legalized in over 33 states now. That's why the patients are pushing for it, because they know firsthand the medical benefit of marijuana. So this is
something... they know the short-term benefits. And and it's predominantly at this point in time, you must admit, subjective, not objective.
I see a patient that has stage 4 cancer that used medical marijuana as their primary care treatment that hasn't reoccurred in the 4 years that I have seen them, then yes, you might say short term, but I gave them 4 years of life that they didn't have before.
Right.
So that's where the conviction comes from, because I see the patients and what it has done for them. Now, we can say that.
Well, look, I don't want to argue the point, but I'm going to finish with this. My mother was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer almost 4 years ago, and they didn't give her 2 years to live. And she's alive and well today. And she hasn't been on chemo, radiation. We did that earlier. The treatment almost killed her. So we stopped. It's a slow-growing cancer.
That was
a
good call.
Had she been smoking marijuana, I couldn't say, well, you know, the marijuana is what did it, or the medicinal marijuana is what did it, or whatever is what did it, because we don't know, because we really haven't conducted the appropriate clinical study as it relates to that from a holistic perspective as to, you know, what other factors could or could not be. I hear what you're saying.
In the United States,
and though. I hear the industry talking about this all the time. My point was simply this. I think that's why end-of-life and end-of-life collection of data as it relates to management, nausea management, MS, relief of spasms and things of that nature. Where I was trying to get to with this questioning was, is the industry, all of you guys that are in it in right now in Louisiana, because the last time I did these interviews, the answer was no. Is there any central collection point of the data right now? Because this law expires in 2025. And in 2025, depending on what's going to be coming out from the FDA, there may be a battle again. And without the data, you know, when people start, I feel, or I this, or I that, that was part of the issues that law enforcement had with this early on, is there was no data.
Well, and no, I can chime in here.
And this is Peter Prevost with the Louisiana Association for Therapeutic Alternatives. Welcome, Peter.
Thank you, Noel. So LATA is, as a group, collecting data at each of the 9 pharmacies to the extent that we are allowed to under the law here. And so it's basically at this point that really comes down to survey data. And so each patient, has a record, and much like an EMR, it's updated along the way as they visit the pharmacies, and they can input, you know, different things into there. And we're also capturing information about other drug interactions and what drugs are being used. So we are trying to collect that data to the extent possible. And the industry at large in the U.S. is very, very hungry for this data. And I think you have to understand historically the barriers that have been put in place to FDA research.
Yes.
In the industry, and that there's only one, there's NIDA up at Ole Miss, the only federal grow in the U.S. where product can be shipped for research. And so that's been a huge barrier that's really not allowed this to happen up until this point. And we have seen in the past several months movement on the federal side to license more federal grows to do actual FDA research. And so I think that the industry is very hungry for that data as well, in addition to law enforcement. It's time to kind of take that anecdotal data and make it real.
No, I agree. I mean, I'm not speaking against it. Look, if it works and if the data and the empirical data is available and it's there, who am I or anybody else to argue against it? That has just always been, you know, the methodology has been through the FDA process.
And now through our industry, we have Zalera, which I have collaborated in Australia to provide this data, but we're collecting it outside of the country. So again, I have to pinpoint that a lot of this research has been done. It's just been done outside of the U.S.
Okay, when we get back, we'll talk a little bit about what that's revealed and the anecdotal stories that y'all have seen. When we return, this is Newell on WWL. We're back and we're talking about the efficacy of medical marijuana. Rustin Henry, owner of H&W Dispensary. Dr. Shonda Macias, owner and executive president of Ilera Holistic LLC, as well as Peter Prevost from the Louisiana Association for Therapeutic Alternatives, joins us. Mr. Henry, you've been a pharmacist, 20, 30 years or so?
30 plus years.
And so what has been your experience thus far in dispensing this medication? You know, it's funny, patients tend to share a lot more sometimes with their pharmacist than they are with their physician in many cases.
Right. I've been a registered pharmacist for over 30 years. And since I've been selling medical marijuana, it's been the most personally enriching time professionally I've ever had, because we all dispense at any retail pharmacy. We dispense antibiotics, blood pressure, diabetes medicine, and it's consistent around the state. The results are the results. But in dispensing medical marijuana, we have a desperate population who've been waiting for a type of therapy that helps alleviate their suffering. And when we administer the medical marijuana to them, we get hugs. We get fantastic stories that just make you go home and smile every day. You know, the kid who has autism, who now can go out to dinner with his mom. The kid who's having seizures now can go on field trips with the rest of his class. The lady who has arthritis so bad and pain so bad that she can't walk to her front door. Now she's walking around the corner. She's going on visits with her grandkids and her daughters and sons and all the stuff. I mean, every day, when I say every day we get just feel-good stories from people, you know? And it's I'm one of the biggest converts of all time because it works. It works and it works.
But we were talking off air. You're comfortable with, I guess, most of the aspects of the Louisiana state law. You were talking about the fact that you liked it, because it's in an oil, it's not smoke-based, it's not any of that, you can appropriately dose it. There's so many things that you can do with it because of a lot of the safeguards and protocols that were put in place under the Louisiana law.
Correct. The good thing about Louisiana, I think we did it right this time. It's grown in Louisiana, supervised by Louisiana Department of Agriculture. There are two facilities that's growing it, LSU and Southern. There are 9 dispensaries supervised by the Louisiana Board of Pharmacies. The form you're getting, some of these, you're getting stuff from all over the place. You don't know what you're getting. In Louisiana, you know exactly what you're getting. So when you have a consistency of dosaging, that way you could chart what the results are. You don't want to say, well, one bottle I need 5 milliliters, next bottle I need 0.5 milliliter. You can't do it. You want to be able to give that kid, hey, I take this much before I go to school. Hey, I take this much in the evening time. It's done. It's no matter what. The consistency is there. And with that consistency, you can get the results a whole lot easier.
Peter, let me ask you, I mean, one of the things that I think is important about this is that a lot of people don't realize that, and Dr. you as well, most of our medicines are not plant-based, right? They're developed in synthetic, right? Derived. That's what kind of makes this different as to why the sanctity of the protocol from the beginning to the end, as was just described by Mr. Henry, is so valid and so important in the delivery of this product. Is that an overstatement?
I'll jump in here. So what I can say is natural medicine has been used, centuries throughout.
Yeah.
And we know that it's not about isolating a certain component. It's about using every component to establish wellness and, I'm going to say the word homeostasis, which means balance. Mm-hmm. And so exactly what you're saying, when we think about medical marijuana, everyone's focused on THC or CBD. But what they haven't talked about is all the different components that actually have a medicinal benefit. Let me give you an example. So when people say lemon skunk, oh, that is offensive. You know, the naming of it, I have no control over it. But what makes it lemon is a terpene called limonene. Limonene is a natural antidiuretic and also an antidepressant. So again, using that in conjunction with the other elements or cannabinoids in the plant is what's contributing to this overall well-being. And so these are the things we're not talking about, is how the whole plant is actually working towards wellness and actually finding the right plant that can help towards your condition and or your ailment. So it's a very individualized healthcare issue. We focus on individualized medicine. And that's when Rustin, when he said, when we're dealing with autism patients, we just don't give one medication for everything. There's specific medications for specific ailments and conditions.
Right. But the point that I was trying to make is simply this. I understand that this has been going on for generations in the use of natural herbs, plants, everything in for any number of issues. But they were not artificially kind of manipulated and grown. Already in California, in this market, as you well know, they've had marijuana recall after marijuana recall after recall because they are not adhering and maintaining to the safety protocols in the development of that product. They're using pesticides. They're using this. They're trying to take shortcuts. The sanctity of the process has been violated, and they realize now that they're having to pump millions upon millions upon millions of dollars into regulatory because the product that's ending up end market is not what they profess it to be.
And that's why I say Louisiana.
And that's why I said go back to this FDA process. So what we are doing now at the state level is we are basically, in many respects, supplanting the FDA process by our own state process in order to ensure the safety of the product to the end user.
Exactly. That's exactly what we're doing. Go ahead.
Right. And the good thing about it, all those recalls, all the mistakes that other places may have made, Louisiana got it right. It's controlled from seed to sale. And you could say a whole lot of things about this industry, but this one, Louisiana got it smack dab 100% correct.
Well, it hasn't been without its detractors. And it hadn't been without its frustration. And I know that the Ag Secretary, Dr. Strain, has taken a lot of grief from a lot of different folks. And I've defended him because I've read the stories. In fact, Doc, you were surprised how much I've read as much as I can get my hands on about medical marijuana. I've admitted that in many respects, my initial reaction and my thoughts were wrong. And I'm okay with that, as long as the data continues to reveal certain things. And so as we go through this process and what I now have gaining a better understanding of, you know, a lot of folks taking these shortcuts, they're not worried about it. You know, it's the same thing that we're going through right now with vaping. You know, vaping was going to be the ultimate alternative to smoking, and it was going to be less intrusive or less harmful to your lungs. That's what everybody believed initially. Now the test, because everybody's starting to run tests, are starting to reveal, well, maybe not so fast. Maybe we need to think about it.
Well,
go ahead. No, I'm sorry. No,
one thing about this one, we all were waiting for this medication to come out, this therapy to come out. But with the delays here and there, I've always said that it's more important to get it right than to get it fast. And the delays with a new industry.
Well, you might be the exception to the rule in the marijuana industry.
Yeah, it's important you get it right. Once you get it right, you don't have to go back and redo and all this stuff. So the delay is going to happen. You have a brand new industry that's coming into a conservative state, and everybody wants to be, they exercise maybe an abundance of caution, but it's more important to get it right than get it fast. And I think in Louisiana, it took a little time, it took some delays, but guess what? We got it right.
Well, I think like Dr. Macias, you know, who's worked with these products a lot more, you're probably the exception as opposed to the rule.
Definitely.
And in Louisiana, you're definitely the exception. Maybe not so much in California. Maybe not in Australia. But the fact is here, you would be. Your comfort level is far greater than a lot of other physicians that have never been trained. In this. I remember when acupuncture hit the market, you know, everybody was like, oh, this is voodoo, you know, and now, you know, they have people every week are getting acupuncture. Now, a lot of the physicians, same thing. They believe in acupuncture. They're actually recommending it and so forth and so on. So it's overcome a lot of the doubt that the industry had as it collected the data. And they've been doing acupuncture for how many thousands of years? I mean, you know, it's just one of those. And I think this industry is going to go through the same growing pains that these other industries have gone through for a period of time.
I definitely have to support that sentiment. I think about the number of medical schools that actually speak on the endocannabinoid system, which is the system that regulates.
You said there are nine?
There's only nine nationally. And now some of the bigger schools are coming on board to provide that education. And those that do pioneer this industry will be those that will actually be the leaders in the research and also in treatment, effective treatment plans.
Our
for
next
patients.
Generation of doctors.
Yes.
And actually, these medical schools have really a fiduciary obligation to do so because the states have passed the law. And if they're going to stay leading edge, right, they need to go and get themselves educated as it relates to the dispensing of this medication. Because there will be patients that present in the ER, in the doctor's offices that are taking cannabinoids. And if they don't understand, what it is, what it does. They really can't practice in many respects. It's going to be a huge limiter for them.
But yeah, like you're saying, there's a lot of hurdles we still trying to overcome. Some of the biggest things is just the perception of medical marijuana. We still have a great number of our population that still think it's smokable and edible. Louisiana, in its wisdom, did not approve anything that's smokable, anything that's edible. Right now, what you're getting is a sublingual tincture. A sublingual tincture is a medication that you put under your tongue and absorbed underneath your tongue into the system, just like the nitroglycerin tablets.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we have people coming.
It's like my sublingual B12 that I take every morning.
Exactly. But we still got people think you come in and give me a pound of this and an ounce of this. No, it's.
Well, part of the problem has been, as you well know, there are sectors of this industry that are trying to leverage medical marijuana to get to legalization of marijuana. And it's probably been one of the largest detractors of this industry growing and will continue to be that, because there are those like myself that are willing to put my toe in the water here, but I'm not ready to put my toenail in the water there.
I got you. Like you say, but I agree with you 100%. But the thing about it, once you've seen these people walk in and the success stories that we're having, man, you change your mind. But once again, this is medicinal marijuana. It's a medicine. It's another tool in the toolbox for physicians to use to give great care to their patients. At H&W, we say we give people their lives back.
No, and it's got to be a great feeling. Let's go to the talk lines. We'll go to Katie on line one. What say you, Katie? Katie, welcome
Hi.
To the show.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Katie.
Good.
How are you doing?
Hi, Dr. Shonda. How are you?
It's a blessing to hear your voice this morning.
Well, you know, I've been listening, and I'm glad that y'all were able to share this amazing new medical experience with listeners out there that could benefit so many people like it has benefited myself. And I kind of just wanted to share with you and Sheriff Norman and his listeners what's been going on in my realm. And just thank you wholeheartedly for all the effort that y'all have put into this and time.
So, Katie, how long have you been using medical marijuana?
Okay, well, I am a legal Louisiana patient. I picked up my medicine the first day it opened, and I have tried it before in other states. And I never had safe and consistent treatment. And I have been very, very vocal about it in my hometown and at the Capitol before these guys were even in the business. And Sheriff, I have spoken to you in the past down mm-hmm. there, and I know, you know, you were an opponent of it. And I believe, you know, it's, sometimes in life, you got to sip tea with both parties. And I would love to take you out to coffee and show you my doctor's records and these amazing breakthroughs that have happened to me.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And I'll give you a little rundown about myself. I am pushing 40 years old now, but I was in a traffic accident at the age of 24. I was a young, independent, outgoing sales and management woman, and my life spiraled out of control. I had a double neck surgery, disc issues, and I went through the whole traditional chronic.
So your issue was more pain management. I'm sorry, I'm trying to move it along, Katie, because yeah. I got to get to a break, but I want you to tell your story. So it was more pain management?
Pain management until the year of 2016, I was advocating at the Capitol, and I was struck again by a vehicle. And this time I endured a traumatic brain injury, two chronic subdural hematomas, and I had a successful left brain craniotomy.
So I don't mean to be rude, but I got to get to this break. So in the end, this has worked for you.
Yes, sir. I am walking, talking, and I just got a report from my three specialists last week that I am the healthiest I've ever been in my adult life.
Well, that is great news, Katie. Thank you so much for calling. I apologize. I got to get to this break. We'll be right back. We're back. We've been talking about the effectiveness, the efficacy of therapeutic marijuana. It's still in its infancy here in the state of Louisiana, and we're going to continue this conversation into the next hour. If you're on hold, stay on hold. We're going to get to the calls, 260-1870 or text 870-870. Let's go to Kelly in New Orleans. What say you, Kelly?
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I am doing well, thank you.
So what is your story, Kelly?
I have a 19-year-old severe autistic adult son, mm-hmm. and we've been on 14 different medications. We are now down to 5. I've never had it to where there's a day that you go by where something was broken or damaged, and now we can go months, sometimes even quite a few months, without anything. He'll even communicate verbally, saying something's bothering him, ask for help. Never been done before. We can go into restaurants now. People scare him, and we're now allowed to tell everybody hello, and he even places his order with the waitresses and actually has meaningful communication with individuals. Aside from just myself, we can leave the house. Before, it was just like we were in a prison, and there was no hope for us. Like, we called every agency, anything that exists in Louisiana and outside of, and nobody could help us.
Kelly, how long have y'all utilized therapeutic marijuana?
1 year and 1 month.
And did you see the effects immediately, or did it take, 30 days, 60 days?
Did not even take but a week.
Really?
Yep.
I'm going to jump in there. And first of all, I want to say thank you for your story, and thank you for being a good mother to advocate for your son's health.
Very welcome.
I mean, it's very important. I am also run an organization called Women Grow, where I have seen families have to break apart and the mother mm-hmm. and child go to Denver to get treatment because the state hasn't allowed them to participate in a medical marijuana program. And, what we see is that, in the state of Pennsylvania, the state actually allowed a safe harbor of medical marijuana into their communities to treat autistic wow. patients. And so, what I have to say for you is thank you so much. I'm a mother myself. I've treated numerous autistic patients, and some states have made it very complicated because if your yes. child is under the age of 18, they are very mm-hmm. hesitant to treat you, even though you're providing that quality of life for a child.
What is the law in Louisiana?
So we recently had some, we overcome some hurdles with it and are able to get younger children safer access to the medication. Is it where we want it to be today? No, it isn't. And the other thing that we're not talking about is the cost.
Well, let me, I have to get to another break because and Kelly, congratulations to you. And those stories that were told at the Capitol, they touched everyone, even myself and others that were detractors in looking at this thing from a holistic standpoint of not just in right. your sector, but across all the sectors. And a lot of times there were a lot of misgivings, a lot of misinformation, a lot of misunderstanding. And it's great to hear this story that you're able to have a more fulfilling life with your son and able to go out and about, and that means a lot. Thank you so much for sharing that story. We'll be right back. All right, our guests have agreed to stay a little longer. Our next guest, Dr. Michael Lewis, we were going to talk about the NFL concussion protocol. Unfortunately, he's had a medical emergency. So we're going to get him back on the show. But with that, it creates an opportunity to have a more robust conversation beyond what we've already had. We've got so many other issues to talk about. We were just talking off air about that. So if you're on hold, stay on hold. We're going to come back to the talk lines when we return. This is Newell on WWL. We're back. We've been talking about the efficacy of therapeutic marijuana. Joining us on the show, Rustin Henry, owner of H&W Dispensary, one of the 9 approved dispensaries in the state of Louisiana, as well as Dr. Shonda Macias, owner and executive president of Lara Holistic LLC, and Peter Privo of the Louisiana Association for Therapeutic Alternatives. One of the things that's, I guess, limiting in the Louisiana state law, and I guess this was a compromise, as a lot of bills that go through the legislative process, is that it's limited to certain diagnoses, so autism, wasting syndrome, cancer, chronic or intractable pain, Crohn's disease, epilepsy, glaucoma, HIV/AIDS, muscular dystrophy, multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's disease, PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, spasticity, and seizure disorders.
That's correct.
And so a lot of people ask, how do I go about getting this? Doctors don't write prescriptions in the normal course. It's a recommendation is where the law is right now. So a physician has to recommend it. Is that correct?
Correct. To obtain medical marijuana in Louisiana, you have to be examined by a physician licensed in the state of Louisiana to prescribe, or rather to recommend medical marijuana. Then he examines you.
Can any physician recommend it, or are there a limiting number?
There are a limited number of physicians. So before you go to a physician for medical marijuana, find out if he's licensed for that. And if he's licensed for it.
And you do that how? Is there a website that you can go to?
Louisiana Department of Medical Examiners have a website. You can actually call H&W. We can let you know if a local doctor around here is licensed for it. Peter can tell you on the organization.
Yeah, you can also go to therapeuticalternatives.org, where we have an interactive map. You can click on a region, and it'll help you find the closest doctor and pharmacy. The list on our website's not quite as long as the list on the Board of Medical Examiners website, because we're trying to focus on the doctors who are, really specializing in this. But we really, hope to see that mainstream adoption sometime in the future once the data and the education is out there for the mass physicians.
And once you have seen a physician authorized by the state of Louisiana to recommend medical marijuana, the physician would examine you. And if you have one of the approved conditions, in his professional opinion, he think that you can benefit from medical marijuana, he would send in a recommendation to one of the 9 pharmacies in the state. And once you send it into the pharmacy, it's basically like traditional pharmacy at that point. You're going to the pharmacy, you're picking up your recommendation, and of course we're going to give you an extensive consultation with it because it's a new therapy, and we want you to succeed in using it correctly and getting the therapeutic effect that you desire.
And so the state of the law at the federal level right now, Medicare, Medicaid, no.
No, everything is out-of-pocket expenses.
Commercial insurance, no.
And this is where we really try to focus on affordable medicines because we know that it's not subsidized at all through any type of insurance plan. It's a purely cash business, and until it is legal, federally legal, it will stay that way. One thing I do want to mention with Rest and Touching Bases is that a lot of states have adopted the policy that even though we have defined qualifying conditions here in Louisiana, we really believe that it should be the physician who determines who can actually receive medical marijuana as a treatment. So, in terms of what I look like in the future or the program in the state, I really want to focus on let the physician speak to their patient in that bona fide relationship and decide if medical cannabis is the best option for them and not the state dictate whom can be a participant.
But isn't it fair to say that the state picked these because these were the very studies that you referred to out of Australia, out of England, out of other places, Israel, some of the local folks that had done some stuff here, that's why they picked these
disorders
because I was there and I remember these conversations that came up and the expansion of this is a much expanded list off of the original contemplation of legislation, and I think it's been amended at least once.
That's exactly what I was about to say, because when it was originally approved, two conditions that was added later on was autism and chronic pain, chronic and intractable pain. So it's ever-evolving. There are many more conditions that we think that could benefit from medical marijuana, but at this point, this is the list, this is the list, and as more data becomes available and they can see the benefits of medical marijuana, we're hopeful that it'll expand within the list. And like Dr. Macias said, let the physician have the discretion of prescribing it or recommending it for whatever condition he or she sees fit.
Because even amongst this disorder, these disorders, I should say, there is still disagreement in the medical world about the efficacy of medical marijuana in the treatment of some of these disorders. Because I read a number of studies about 60 days ago that were saying that, no, it's not going to have the long-term effects that are talked about, because they've started looking at patients and they've looked at studies from around the world as well. So there's still some disagreement out there as it relates to that. I understand where you're going because of your training, but still, in the end, you know, those nasty old lawyers, I guess, and I'm one of them, they're still about this notion of this liability out there, and it's a legitimate concern. Because the insurance, a lot of this isn't going to change until insurance companies and everybody gets on board. Because if this is a cheaper alternative than the traditional course of treatment for many of these ailments, they're going to be all in.
Right. Yes. So, sometimes this is not necessarily a cheaper alternative, but it is an alternative. One thing about medical marijuana.
Well, some of these medications that they're given for these disorders are not cheap.
Right.
And I know what medical marijuana costs. It's a lot cheaper than some of these other medications.
Exactly. And some of these medications are extremely expensive, but sometimes the patients don't see the actual cost because the insurance is picking up a certain amount.
Is it also safe to say that a lot of times the medical marijuana, in addition to some of the other medications that are given, that the efficacy actually is kind of increases?
It's increased in some circumstances. In some circumstances, it could have an impact. So I think that the way when we think about medical marijuana, it's definitely a scientific method to it. If you are a cancer patient and you have are currently under immunotherapy, I would have a specific way to treat you versus someone who's taking chemo or radiation. So it depends, again, on the patient itself and how to pivot, you know, what that looks like.
Let's go to Jeb for a second. I think he's got a great question. Jeb on line three. Jeb, welcome to the show.
Yeah, appreciate it.
So what is your question?
What is the difference between what you're talking about, which has to be recommended by a doctor, and what I hear advertised all day long on the radio, this patient in particular, CBD oil that's available just either online or in person?
So there is a marked difference between CBD-only products and CBD THC along with terpene compositions, which is a medical marijuana product. So what happened with the farm bill back in August, September, is that hemp was allowed to become federally legal. Hemp actually produces cannabinoids that are very similar to the cannabis plant. And out of that hemp product, they were able to isolate one cannabinoid, which is CBD. CBD has its known effects, like assisting with sleep, insomnia, with inflammation, pain, and also just helps with overall, I'm going to say, underlying conditions. And so because that became legal, everyone has jumped into the CBD industry. That means that it's, again, focusing on one cannabinoid. But if you also have a hemp plant that has all the cannabinoids, but the THC produced is lower than 0.3%, you can also sell that on the open market. versus THC, or what we consider a cannabis plant, which has over 140 cannabinoids, but has no medicinal benefits from a whole plant perspective. Again, talking about cannabinoids, terpenes, alkaline phosphatases, flavonoids, everything else that goes into plant medicine. So they're very distinctive from each other, but yet they have very limited ways of treating patients.
And Jeb, just hold on one second.
Okay.
I am of the mindset that this over-the-counter hemp-based cannabinoids is going to hurt the industry.
I will say this.
You don't think that there's an expectation that's being created by what is being dispensed, like in Louisiana, versus a lot of people are going to go there thinking it's the same. Just like that you said earlier,
yes.
They think right now you can smoke it, you can do edibles or whatever for purposes of therapeutic marijuana.
Market confusion.
And there's this market confusion, and the producers of this stuff, they don't care.
The thing about it,
they want you believing that this is the stuff that is therapeutic marijuana.
But with the proliferation of so many CBD things, one, it's not regulated like we are. You're getting some CBD products, you don't know what you're getting. Some of it have no CBD in at all, or they're advertising.
Well, you don't know the strength of it.
Exactly. So what we have is, ours is, once again, it's grown in a state, regulated by the state, and dispensed by the state. So you're getting something, it's one time here, sometimes it's snake oil. So what you're getting from the medical marijuana is a consistent
product.
You're
making my point. That's why I think it's going to hurt the industry, quite frankly, because there are those that are trying to exploit, the medicinal value of therapeutic marijuana, and they think they're getting this over the counter.
And they're distinctively different.
They're distinctly different. Great question, Jeb. Thank you so much for calling in. Got to get to a break. We'll be right back. We're back. We're talking about therapeutic marijuana. Rustin Henry, owner of H&W Dispensary, one of nine dispensaries in the state of Louisiana, authorized to dispense therapeutic marijuana. Dr. Shonda Macias, owner and executive president of Elira Holistic LLC, as well as Peter Privo, Louisiana Association for Therapeutic Alternatives. We were talking, and it was a great question by the previous caller about the over-the-counter stuff, and I know that there's a lot of regulatory stuff that's working right now about that, because they've done sampling, and what is on the label is not necessarily what's in the bottle.
Quite often is not. What you see is not what you get.
Yeah, and unfortunately, that's a lot to do with a marketing nowadays. Yeah.
So, and then the thing about it, who suffers? The patient. You got somebody pay good money for a product, and they're trying to get a result, and they're not getting the result they want because the product is a lot of times inferior. Not all CBD products are inferior, but it's a toss a coin in the air. You never know what you're getting.
Right. Let's go to John on line four. John, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
I just was interested in seeing if there was any data as far as diabetics with this municipal marijuana.
Definitely. So I think what you're looking for is just regulating sugar levels. And so in our dispensary in Washington, D.C., where we've treated thousands of patients, there's one particular strain that I would focus on. It's called Blue Dream. Blue Dream has a composition where it can actually regulate those blood sugar levels. A lot of patients use it for that reason because of their diabetic natures. But one one element of that that actually helps with that is an appetite suppressant as well. And so a lot of people think that cannabis will induce appetite, but there are specific strains that actually will suppress it and help regulate those blood sugar levels. So that is the strain that is known for it and how we treat patients with it. Again, if I were to treat you, I would not recommend smoking medical marijuana, but either in a liquid form and treat you that way, which is called an oil tincture. So it is a specific dosage. If you haven't used cannabis before, it takes about 2 to 3 days to get in the system, and then you'll be able to feel the full benefits of it.
And it's called what?
Blue Dream.
Blue Dream. So let me... D-R-E-A-M, yes. Blue Dream.
Yes.
Thank you, John. Appreciate the call. And you've talked about a number of strains of cannabinoids. Was that one of the biggest challenges, too, with the education of this? Because I've been told that there were like 300 different components of a marijuana, of a cannabis plant, that a lot of, you know, at one point I'd really had no testing on any of this.
Definitely. So just to give you a little bit about my background, I'm a biomedical researcher. I've studied cancer for over 10 years, infectious diseases for the last about 5 to 7 years. I've held about $10 million in NIH grants through Howard University, and I've worked in conjunction with the Southern University with some of my collaborative efforts. I've trained medical doctors, advanced undergrads, and graduate students in Africa for the last 10 years under one of my NIH grants to teach them how to work with natural medicine. I just pivot my education and my experience in the medical cannabis industry to be able to bring medicine to patients here and treat them specifically for their ailments and conditions. So I really focus on individuals and focus on people who need help. And usually, like you said, this is the last chance that they have at life. And that's where I focus on educating to say, take a step back. Let's take away some of the stigma that we have been educated with and think about true health care.
Let's go to Charles on the West Bank on line 6. Charles, welcome to the show. Charles?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yes, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you. I've been dealing with back problems since 67 from injuries received in the military. And over the last 10 years, it's been almost unbearable because I've been having to go get epidural shots every 6 to 8 months just to be able to walk around correct. And in the wintertime, it's really bad because I also have a problem with my knee, and the back was horrible because I was taking all kind of hydrocodone and all kind of strong pain medication, and the stuff was like the after effects was worse than the pain. And I tried this about 2 months ago, and I haven't had any pain in my back. I haven't felt this good in 20 years.
And you went through the physician, and you're getting this Louisiana product?
Yes, sir. I went through my primary physician. He sent me to the H&W clinic and went through another examination over there, and he advised me that that would probably be the best thing to try because I was having so much problem with the Class A narcotics. It's just eating my stomach up and just make you feel like, just the after effects were horrible.
Charles, that's a great point. You know, a lot of times that the medicine creates a bunch of different side effects, one being you got to take it on a full stomach or, you know, it erodes your stomach lining. Is there research as it relates to cannabinoid in therapeutic marijuana as to whether, are there any side effects?
Well, first of all, I have to say, Charles, thank you for your service to this country. Without you, we wouldn't be where we are today. Second, I think about the side effects. The side effects in this case, or using medical marijuana, there are some, especially if you don't have your dosing properly administered. You can actually feel more intoxicated or sometimes less, so that you don't know if you're getting that true benefit. So that's what we usually see. But when you think about the opioid epidemic and the issues surrounding about patients losing their lives because they're trying to get rid of pain, and what that looks like versus maybe getting your right dosage, I prefer to have life versus not. I think also with our opioid epidemic, it has had an impact on our white males ages 19 to 26. I've seen them like continuously just dying. And when I went back to do the case studies with that, I found that my white males were introduced to opioids at a very young age. They experienced a football condition where they broke their leg, or they had some type of trauma. And with that trauma, that's when they were first exposed to the opiates, which led to a bigger, more severe epidemic and a life or death consequence. So when I think about the benefits of medical marijuana versus opioid usage, there's no comparison. I choose life.
Right. But back to the question, has there been any studies that have revealed significant side effects?
No, and that's where we are. In extreme cases, there are several patients that we've seen that have that are actually allergic, but they haven't had detrimental consequences.
So it's like it's not unlike other medications. It's going to work for some folks, but not necessarily all folks, because the physiology of the body.
You're nailing it.
I mean, that's why we call it the practice of medicine. It's not an exact science by any stretch of the imagination, right?
Like I say, we always say it's another tool in the toolbox for physicians to help make you healthy.
Right. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Charles. Appreciate the call. We got to get to another break. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Don't mind us. We're just talking away offline here, and forgot that we actually have a show going on. Question. On the text line, Newell, can you please ask about CHS, cannabinoid hyperemesis syndrome? Did I say that right?
Shonda.
Yes.
And what is that?
I'm not familiar with that one.
Cannabinoid hyperemesis syndrome.
Oh, that's when, that's one of the side effects.
Of overuse.
Were
okay.
So, that is when you were saying that it could be overuse. It could be just a physiological misconnect with different people. But when I said it was people have allergies towards medical cannabis, that's one of them. I think it affects less than 0.6% of the population. And that's where you do have those cases. So it's not like we don't evaluate you. But when you come in, we have a regimen, we have that consultation with you, and then if you have any side effects, we deal with that at that point. We might change things around because we have different formulations for different conditions.
Yeah, when we were talking about the over-the-counter stuff, and I brought it up, and I wanted to revisit this real quick. Do y'all feel that sometimes you're faced with the too good to be true kind of mentality? I've said this often on your show. If people were as emotional about debt, if they were as emotional about crime, if they were as emotional about childcare, education, as they are about the legalization of marijuana and medical marijuana, there'd be a whole host of problems that we could solve. And it seems that, and it's going to sound like I've got my detractor hat on, and I don't. But I understand a little bit about marketing. And it's almost like a lot of the stories that you hear are too good to be true. You're happy for them. I'm happy for, look, I want everybody to be happy, healthy, feel good, right? I get a text here that kind of reminded me of it. You'll talk about going and drinking, you know, alcohol, because I love wine, sorry. But you'll be opposed to marijuana. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I know the dangers of alcohol, but I'm able to consume it in moderation. I don't have a genetic proclivity for an addictive disorder. I'm blessed that I don't. But many don't, but many do. So do you feel like that? It's like sometimes you're fighting that too good to be true story?
I'm fighting a lot of different stories, but what you're saying is definitely one of those issues where people said, well, it's just it cures everything. It solves all the problems, and it doesn't. It depends on.
I wonder if it would solve my closet problem. I only get 20% of the closet at home. I might have to test that one out. But go ahead. I'm just teasing.
But no, it's definitely one of those when you align the proper strain or type of medication with the right type of ailment and condition, you can see those benefits. But to say that it fixes everything, I think that's the marketing play that you're talking about.
Yeah.
Which is has, you know, definitely has its issues with it. But what's important here is that what I experience, again, working with thousands of patients, the ones that really need it, and they come in and they're hesitant. They pause, they walk in, they're nervous, they don't know what to expect. It's a medical facility, so it's just like a doctor's office. You come in and we greet you professionally. And we talk about your ailment and condition. And after they get their recommendation and their medication and they use it, they come back and they give us the feedback. What I have experienced is something called patient remorse, where they get very upset because he said, can you imagine what my quality of life would have been if I had been able to use this 3 years before? And they get upset that they didn't have access to this type of health care. They get upset because they could have been out, you know, doing things with their families and playing with their children and being able to have real relationships, especially in the case of post-traumatic stress disorder, where it's very hard for people to bond. So when this comes into play, we have to then go through a whole nother set of therapies with them to make them understand is that this is just how policy works. Right. And we're changing that, but one day at a time, right. One life at a time.
And it you know, the onset of this is not any different from most other medications. I mean, it moves a little bit more in a streamlined fashion once the traditional protocol of going through FDA approval of hitting the market and permeating the market. But once again, we're dealing with an opioid crisis because we oversold the story about opioids, right? And now the Sackler family is losing their entire fortune, and as well they should, because we misled folks as to the efficacy of this and the safety of it, right?
Definitely.
Well, one thing about it, there was an Illinois study that showed that people who were on opiates, when they got on medical marijuana, they reduced the consumption of the opiates. In fact, 86% of them got reduced the amount of opiates they were taking, and actually 26% of them got off opiates altogether. So we have an opiate crisis, but we might be looking at a possible cure for it right here in medical marijuana. There have been zero deaths reported from medical marijuana, where there's countless ones from the opiates. It's just like, I just keep saying the same thing over and over. It's another tool in the toolbox. There's no one medication that fixes everything, but this is a tool that you could use in the toolbox, and it works.
I think also what we're not talking about is that it's a tool in a toolbox that we know that works, but there has been very harsh, you know, circumstances. If you were caught using this medicine, you would go to prison. I mean, that is the realities of it, that even though you're taking care of your health care and this might be your
But that's not any different than any other scheduled medicine. You know, so if I'm taking hydrocodones and I don't have a prescription for it, I'm going to jail. If I'm taking Xanax and I don't have a prescription for it, I'm going to jail. Adderall right now.
But you have access to that,
you know,
when it was not legal or not available in states, or what that looked like if people were to acquire it, and we know that it has medicinal benefits, the consequence could be possibly prison. So,
right, but that's the risk of going around the FDA process. I've said this all along, and you know, there are life lessons learned here. And I don't know in the near future whether or not we're going to have another substance that's going to go outside of the FDA approval process like this one.
The question
because that's that emotion on this issue that I was talking about,
yeah,
of not necessarily just the medicinal side. It's the recreational use side of it, you know, where I have people – tell me all the time, you know, when I was sheriff and we didn't make that many arrests. We've been issuing misdemeanor summons for possession of marijuana since the 80s. And their whole justification is everybody does it. Well, a lot of people speed, but you still get a speeding ticket. I mean, mm-hmm, you know, and it's like they've rationalized this thing to a point where it's all okay. And no, in a ordered and structured society, there are rules, you know. And like I said, there's been a lot of detractors as to Dr. Strain and his approach in this from seed to sale. I love that saying. I'm going to steal it from you. But, you know, that the reality is that long term, I think Louisiana will be a real upside beneficiary of the steps that they took in the short term. You know, no pain, no gain in many respects. Got to get to a break. We'll be right back for their final thoughts when we return. Stay with us. We're back. We've been talking about the therapeutic marijuana industry. Peter, I know you've been patiently waiting on the line. Peter Privo with the Louisiana Association for Therapeutic Alternatives. Your final thoughts.
Yeah, Newell, I just want to thank you for having us on today. And, you know, for final thoughts, I would say after years of watching this industry take shape, both nationally and here in Louisiana, I couldn't be more thrilled to see this medication finally available to the qualified patients here in Louisiana. And although the system is still a work in process and there's a lot of work left to do, I just want to, you know, thank you for having us on and say that we'll continue the good fight and continue to help patients day to day.
Well, thank you, Peter. We really appreciate it. Shonda? Dr. Macias?
Yes, I just want to say for a final thought, I know a lot of patients consider medical marijuana as the last option. I really would like patients to consider and be proactive about it as using one of the primary options. I think it can do a lot of provide a lot of healthcare benefits without all the issues that you see with some conventional medicines. But also, I would like to thank the people of Louisiana for making this happen and allowing us to be the spokesperson or people for medical marijuana.
Mr. Rustin Henry.
I just want to...
Let me just say, H&W Drugstore, you're responsible for Orleans Jefferson's, Plaquemines, St. Bernard at 1667 Chapatula Street, because there are only nine,
right,
and it's done by region. So go ahead.
Yes, sir. Well, my thing is, eventually the FDA and everybody's going to catch up with, but until then, I just don't want to have people needlessly suffering until they catch up. So, hey, look, if this therapy is available, this medication is available, use it. Do your research and check it out.
I want to thank all of y'all. This has been very informational. I think a lot of folks appreciated it. Thank y'all.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.